Hi, I'm Christy Potter, and this is Going Gray, the podcast about writing and life and reading and books and love and middle age and everything in between. My guest today is Dan Manning, a Michigan-based writer who recently completed his quest to read all of the works of William Shakespeare. I think that's kind of cool. And he's here to talk to us a little bit about his own work and his most recent book. I have known Dan for many years, and he is a writer, has done, I think, 7 books. Is that right,
Dan?
7.
Yep.
And so he's joining us today to talk about his life and his work and his writing. So, Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I've never been interviewed before.
Excellent. Then you were due. You were past due. I'll be gentle with you.
Okay.
So let's first talk about your latest book, Zen Happens. It's just recently out. I just got my copy yesterday, so I've only just started reading it. So tell me a little, well, first tell me how you came to writing books about Zen. This isn't your first one.
Well, I've always kind of been interested in it. When I was in the Navy, I looked into it a little bit and started reading some stuff about Buddhism, and then didn't really start meditating for like 5 years ago, 3 or 5 years ago, and then regularly just in the last few years, and I've read about it. I'm completely unqualified to write about it, but
it never stops any of us, by the way.
Right. But I just thought, well, this is the way I understand it, and I kind of put some humor in it. Mm-hmm. So and that's basically it. I mean, it's hard to explain without writing it out, but
right.
The first book, I kind of kept it basic about, you know, like the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path and the basic Buddhist lists that are out there, and then kind of how I saw it. And then this next one, it kind of gets a little far out, and it's just essays and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Some people have found it helpful, so it seems like it only sells in England for some reason, so which is weird.
Yeah, that's interesting. But I read your first book, Get Your Zen On. I found that it was very interesting to me, because it was what I liked about it is what you just said, how it's more how you view all of this instead
right.
of just another how to Buddhist oriented manual. You really kind of put it on a level that everybody, I think, can understand, which I think is probably.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I'm not a Buddhist or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that every person's brain is different, so my brain is going to see things different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a person's brain is unique,
mm-hmm.
so their view is unique.
Right.
But what they got to take out is all the extra crap they've been told to care about,
mm-hmm.
so that they can look at it from a fresh point of view, but that point of view is going to be different for each person. So
right.
they kind of said, this is how I see it, but ignore the way I see it, because you have to see it for yourself. And that's, and then I, you know, put some humor, and I like putting like the footnotes, almost like when I'm proofreading it, I'll be reading it and I'll go, and I'll start making smart remarks about what I read.
Right.
And those become the footnotes.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, kind of like hindsight, looking back at what I read and going, oh yeah, but then again, you know, and kind of qualifying stuff a little
right.
bit.
Right.
But the thing is, I like to keep it short, because I believe, you know, people don't have a lot of time, so
mm-hmm.
I don't dwell on the stuff too much, and I just keep it moving, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily think that anybody who, you don't have to be a Buddhist or embrace Buddhist belief when you're talking about Zen meditation.
Right. That's the only thing, is like staying in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I focus on, you know, the thing about mindfulness is, you know, you have to be reminded,
because mm-hmm.
you forget, because the world is so distracting of, you know, all the worldly stuff we care about, that your mind starts racing ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can remember to, basically through the whole book, I'm like, if you can remember to hear yourself breathe,
mm-hmm.
you have to stop thinking about all this other crap. And basically, it's different ways to remember
mm-hmm.
during the day, because there's so many things that can distract you. And I get distracted you know, fairly easy unless I work on it. So right. It's kind of like the books for me, and then hopefully other people can use it. But really, it's just put it out the way I see it.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've done some studying of meditation and Zen meditation myself, and I think that you're right, and this is my opinion, of course, but you're right on in the way that you present the idea of mindfulness and living in the moment. And, you know, I've talked to other people who say that, you know, even if you're folding the laundry, you can make that your practice. Just be right there, you know.
Because the thing we're told throughout life is that, you know, there's a series of steps to get to a goal. But the thing is, you're always at the last moment. I mean, everything has led up to this interview for me. Mm-hmm. So this is the whole accumulation of everyone's life is what they're doing at this moment. That's the thing that your life is about. Mm-hmm. And the other stuff that is in your mind is your imagination, because you never get past where you are in the moment, is what I'm trying to say.
And right.
Anyway, I go over that stuff in the book, but I do. The thing is, when I talk about it, mm-hmm. I can edit when I'm writing, but when I'm speaking, I start stumbling over myself. So, it's
yeah.
One of the deals.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I've interviewed all kinds of writers, and it happens to everyone.
Yeah.
Now you've written other books as well. So I've read Cubicles of Madness, and I have not read Android Down, but it is on my to read list. So, you know, what do you want to tell us about those books? You have a very interesting imagination.
Well, Android Down is your basic. Well, it's not a space opera because it's not really that long, but mm-hmm. it's just your basic space adventure thing. But the thing is, I got the android that's in it is based off the David by that famous David statue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's chrome, but it's wearing clothes, of course. And it doesn't talk. But the thing is, the guy gets trapped in it, so it's a long story, but it's really good adventure, and it moves, it doesn't stick, the chapters are short, it's just, you know, just reading for fun. And mm-hmm. then I've got a short story collection called Firewood for Cannibals, which is, there's just short stories, and some of them are supernatural ones, and some of them are just space stuff, and like dystopia future stuff, but I try to get some humor and all that stuff too. And then I've got two collection of essays, Booze and News, mm-hmm. and Brain Giblets, which is just a bunch of essays about things. Like there's one where I have John Wayne and George Washington trying to arrest Joseph Stalin for stealing cable. It's an essay because it's funny and it's overwritten and stuff like that.
Definitely.
I've got another one where I take there was that song Friday that was on the internet. It mm-hmm. was really bad.
Yes.
Yeah. By Rebecca Black. And uh-huh. I did this whole essay about how it's very deep and she's talking about very meaningful, which is, it's kind of joking, but I'm pretty proud of that one too. So, and then I've got a whole essay about supermarket greeters and how they're from another world and they're supernatural. And
wow.
So I do all kinds of different angles of stuff. And they're all sold on Amazon.com through uh-huh. the Create Space thing. They're all self-published. Uh-huh. I don't want to be, you know, not upfront, but kind of upfront about it.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But
yeah. Well, your imagination must just.
Enjoy it. And what I'm working on now is basically I live in Plainfield, Michigan, mm-hmm. and there's a strip. It's called the Plainfield Corridor, and it's just strip malls and you know, a lot of, there's some leased buildings and stuff like that. It's not the prettiest place in the world, and I'm doing like a study of all the plant life in like between the Denny's and where the freeway over on ramp is.
Mm-hmm.
All the places that are forgotten, you know, like things like that. So mm-hmm. that's what I'm working on now, and it's just kind of in the beginning stages of it.
Now, you're a computer repair guy,
right.
In your other life. How did you come to writing?
I've written, even in high school, I messed around with writing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in the Navy, I wrote for a little bit. In fact, that Android Down, a lot of it's got some military stuff in it because I wrote it right when I got out of the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a helicopter electrician, so And then, so it's always been something I've wanted to do. Mm-hmm. The computer work is just how to pay the bills. I go to people's homes and I fix their computers. I'm self-employed, which is kind of nice, but also kind of makes you into a bit of a, you know, I'm in my 40s now, so I'm kind of almost not a hermit, but I don't really socialize much.
I know. I hear you. I hear you. I have meaningful conversations with my cats and the mailman when I'm lucky. I know.
I don't know. I like people and everything, but I got like one friend back in high school that I talked to on the phone. Mm-hmm. I got a few here, but the thing is, being self-employed, you don't get introspective, but you just, like, the whole office dynamic. Mm-hmm. I used to be in a big company, so the Cubicles of Madness was based on that.
Right.
You know, Android Den was kind of based on the military stuff, so it's kind of, you just get a little bit of everything. And then I've always been a fan of, like, science fiction and mm-hmm. supernatural stuff like that, so it all kind of mixes together.
So do your wife and kids like having a writer in the family?
They don't read anything I write. It's amazing. But I'm just like the crazy old man in his office typing away.
Awesome.
So kind of. But my daughter just said the other day when I told her what I was working on, now she goes, you know, someday someone's going to find that and just it'll be the ramblings of a madman. I said, yeah, you're right. It will be, because no one's going to, I don't know. It's not, the other thing about marketing is I'm really lazy about it, mm-hmm. so I don't really, I have a website, and that's about it, and then every once in a while on Facebook I'll go, hey, I wrote a book once, and that's about it. I really need to work on it, but.
Yeah. Well.
That's the thing about self-publishing, you have to promote it.
Yes.
I'm not very good at that.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. You should need to step that up.
Yeah.
It's hard, though.
What's that?
It's hard. Promoting yourself is really much harder than you think it is until you jump in there and
the
do
other
it.
The thing is, it's so easy to publish now mm-hmm. that everybody's got something going. So
yeah.
Which is great, and at the same time, everybody's doing something.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. And then, you know, people don't get on Facebook to see, you know, so you got to be cool about it and mm-hmm. not do it too much. But I had a friend of mine do some illustrations for me, and I had some business cards set up with this robot. It looks pretty cool.
Well, that's awesome.
I don't really put them around like I should.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I have a lot of friends who are self-published, both here and in England, and then I have other writers that I know who have regular publishers, agents, they do the whole thing, and they still have to do a lot of their own self-promotion. And one of my favorite writers is, she's very, very established in this country, her name is Elizabeth Berg, and she wrote on Facebook just today that she knows how important it is in this day and age to promote herself, but every time she does it, she feels like a little kid going, Mom, 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 and when the mother goes, what? They go, look at me. And she just stands there. And that's exactly, she said it better than I did just now, but that is exactly how it feels. Self-promotion is hard, and it's something that I think we're all having to learn as we go, like Facebook and Twitter and even your own website. After a while, you feel like you're going back to the same pool over and over again and saying, look at me, look at me.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, you've got the established, and they put out great stuff, and they mm-hmm. find, you know, there's this process where, you know, a big name is a big name, and there's really a lot of good stuff, but there's so many people who have so much stuff that mm-hmm. everybody's got a book, but I'm just one of them, I guess. I'm just another guy with a keyboard.
There you go. There you go. But it is true, and I've heard that even the big publishing houses and agents are not willing to put the time and the money behind you if you're not, you know, Neil Gaiman or Stephen King or, you know, whoever, Danielle Steele, I don't know. But it's hard, because those are the ones that they really want to put the money behind. So it's up to us to promote ourselves. And, you know, self-publishing doesn't have nearly the negative stigma that it used to, I don't think. A lot of people are going, even the big dogs are coming back to it because they get to keep more of their royalties.
If you've got a name that's known, it's going to sell, so that's just business. But mm-hmm. I've got, like, a couple of friends here locally. One of them, he spent a bunch of time in a Isle Royal, and he wrote a book about it. So he got published, and it's got a local thing. It's West Michigan. So he got, you know, he sold a lot of stuff. So I got another friend who runs the Grand Rapids Marathon, and he wrote a book. Of course, he's got it. He's known as Marathon Don, and of course he's got a built-in audience, so that's why I'm doing this Plainfield thing, sort of, I guess. But I want to write it like there was a guy who wrote a huge book just about I think Coffeyville, Kansas County, or Coffee County, or somewhere in there. It's one county in Kansas, and he wrote this giant book about it, you know, every little detail. So that's kind of what I'm working on now with this. But I'm using a place that's just a line of strip malls, and there's a tattoo place, and cash advance place, and I'm going to write about the stuff around the buildings, and like how many parking spaces, and what kind of plants are in the empty lot, and stuff like that. And sure. Do it the same way, because you know, all that stuff, there's details and everything, so that's kind of what I'm working on now.
That, first of all, I have two thoughts on that. And as you and I were both raised in Kansas, if anybody could write that much, especially about a town like Coffeyville, I think you can find something out there in Michigan.
Right. I mean, this guy's I forget the name of it, something, a deep map or something it was called, but
interesting.
There's a really good. So that's kind of what I'm going to do next is, and, you know, I've been making stuff up off the top of my head. I've never actually done research to do anything, not much anyway. So right. I've actually got to do a little research and learn about plants and stuff like that. So
that's cool, though. The
that's
research
kind of my
is
next
fun.
Project.
Cool. I'm right now, the writer that I'm the most into is John Updike. And he is very, very into what you're talking about, those kinds of details. I mean, he was known for really making the mundane beautiful. So I think that's really a very cool thing for you to be doing. And it should be a lot of fun. Really draws on your imagination and your creativity to pull that out.
Yeah, I've kind of been interested in about like what do homeless people see when they're walking around, stuff like that. Huh. I mean, you know, sidewalks and the grit in curbs and like, I went out and looked at the bridge over the overpass, and it turns out that every post that holds up the guardrail is stamped with a serial number, like inside in the wood. It's really weird, and stuff like that. I mean, sure. So there's a lot of stuff, and I don't want to just want to catalog it. I want to make it interesting or put a story behind it, or give it a, you know, there's... I can't even find a word for it, but when I do, I'll write it down.
Yeah, do that.
So anyway, make sure we can plug my website before we're done.
Okay.
StanManning.com.
StanManning.com. Okay.
I got it early on in the internet. You can imagine how many Dan Mannings are out there, but I've had it for years. Like, so anyway, StanManning.com. I got all my books and links to the... Amazon site.
Okay, great. So you're on, that was actually one of my questions, was where we can buy your books, but you said you're on Amazon.
Yep, everything's on Amazon.com, mm-hmm. And I've got links to it on my website, or you can just look for Zen Happens, that's mm-hmm. the newest one, or Get Your Zen On is the one before that. Mm-hmm. And then on Amazon, you know, you can click my name, you can find the other ones. So.
Excellent. Okay, great. Well, those are really all the specific questions that I had, things I wanted to talk with you about.
Yeah, I hope I didn't rattle on too much.
No. No, not at all. I'm the one who usually rattles. When I listen to these interviews later, I think, shut up and let your guest talk for once. But yeah. No, this was great. I like talking to other writers. I find it, as you said, I find myself spending my days, because I'm a full-time writer now, mm-hmm. and I find myself spending my days, you know, in the house just sort of wandering, and I get up and I talk to the cats, and like I said, the poor mailman can't get away from me sometimes, and by the time my husband comes home at night, my head's ready to explode with everything that happened, and sometimes I miss the office setting just for that, but only for that, just for that. But it's good to talk to other writers and, you know, get to a sense of, like, what is your writing routine? Do you have a...
What happens is I'll start something and mm-hmm. then I'll get really into it, and then I'll finally get it done and finish, and then I'll play World of Warcraft for a month, and then I'll start on my next one. So, but the thing is, I will I'll read it. I mean, I'll do a first draft, and then what I do is I can get it so I can look at it on my iPad, and then I'll pace back and forth and mm-hmm. just read it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do a bunch of edits at the laptop, and then I'll read it again, and then I'll do that about 10 times at least, because proofreading your own stuff, you have to it makes you blind to stuff, so you have to read it, and then you got to read it backwards. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to start from the last chapter and read up, and then you got to see, do the paragraphs work? And then it's just really the first draft is such a mess, and I'm like, oh my God, this is never going to work. And then it starts getting better and better, and then you start liking it, and you go, oh man, this is so good. And then,
right.
So, but it's just reading it over and over and over again, and then adding stuff. And I've got a lot of the, when I wrote Zen Happens, I had 5,000 or so words that I cut out, but I keep it on a separate thing, and then I use that for blog posts. I've got a Get Your Zen On .blogspot.com, but it's linked to it on my website. It's a blog that I put out, and then I kind of talk about Zen stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it.
That's cool, though. I think it's cool. Edits are fun to me. The first time I go back and read something, the first round of edits, I read something I wrote and I think, wow, that's really good. That moment of, damn, I'm good at this. But after a while, it does get tedious. But I think that what you're talking about with reading it over and over and over again and making it perfect is what sets writers like you apart from a lot of self-published writers who just bang it out and put it up thinking, that's good enough, I want to start making money on this. And that's why self-publishing gets a bad name, is because there's so many out there that are full of mistakes.
Right. You send it to Amazon, you upload everything, and then they send you a proof. And then what I do is I read that mm-hmm. about two times, and then you don't publish it. Then you say, oh my gosh, so you got to go back, you got to redo the Word document, and then upload it again. Because I'll read it, I'll keep reading it. And if I find something, even now, you can go up and change it again. But I've got it hammered out, because I will look at every single word, and it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, but it's worth it, because when it's done, you're like, man, this is, I like this.
Yeah.
It's worded correctly, you know. And and I'm going to, while I'm doing this Plainfield thing, I'm going to do some more short stories and stuff too, because I like that.
Cool.
I got a dystopian future setting as Federal Sam, which is, it's kind of like a corporate federal thing all mixed together. It's not, they're bad guys or nothing. It's kind of like a 1984 type thing, and some of my short stories are set in that, and I'm going to mm-hmm. do a whole novel set in that, I think. And it's not a political thing. It's just more adventure stuff. I don't get into the political side of it. It's just a futuristic setting to have stuff happen. So
kind of sounds like Orwell meets Ray Bradbury a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's not heavy or anything like that. It's more, I'm a fan of 50s and 60s old-timey science fiction stuff. But, nice. That type of thing, so it doesn't get all preachy or anything like that. It's just fun escapist literature. That's the science fiction stuff I do. I don't try to put out any message or anything. It's just for enjoyment. So that's
okay.
my short story collection is full of those. I really like my short story collection. I wish I could sell more of those, because they're really good. I've got another. Oh, I've got a short story coming out in a magazine in September.
Awesome.
The Eöf's Kiss is the name of the magazine. It's a science fiction magazine that no one has ever heard of. But I'll have a link to that on my website too, and that'd be cool if people could order that.
Great. That would be excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is good. I think this is everything. So I just wanted to say thank you again.
Appreciate it.
For taking this time with us and letting us know about your work. And, come back anytime.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. That's it for me. I'll be back here again next week. But in the meantime, you can find me on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and of course, www.christytherewriter.com.